Episode 119, Facing the Ugly. The world is filled with ugly, evil, sin, wickedness, etc. Sometimes we find it in ourselves. How do we handle ugly? How do you handle ugly? Some people are so disgusted with it that they just ignore it and don't want anything to do with it. But if we want to overcome it, we have to face it no matter how awful it is. We need to fight against it in ourselves and try to rescue others from it as well. If we don't face the ugly, we'll never overcome it.
Good morning. Good morning. Grace and peace to you. Good to see each one of you here this morning. Mike mentioned in the announcements about the note in the bulletin to the brothers, and we've had a couple of notes. We had a article about the men's group restarting and our new format, and I just want to encourage the brothers to come out and be there. The last time we talked about overcoming our fears, and then we talked about effective communication, and this time we're going to talk about kind of putting that together, leading in the assembly. That was one of the things that when we first started this, it was expressed, you know, I need help getting up here and being a little more confident in leading a prayer, reading scripture. And so we're going to work on that this time. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that men's group. All right. Facing the ugly. What on earth are you talking about, Jeff? Well, we don't like ugly, or filth, or something that's smelly or dirty or rotten, do we? And we tend to run from it. We don't want to be around it. If it's in our house, we don't want to face it. We don't want to deal with it. I'm not saying this sermon was prompted by this example, but recently, one morning, was that this past week? I looked out, got on the deck and looked out over the deck, and there was a nice big old dead rat just lying there on the sidewalk. And I said to Shirley, I said, honey, there's a dead rat out here. I think we ought to just leave that around and just enjoy looking at that dead rat for a while. Just see what it does and how smelly it might get and if it will attract any flies and other stuff. We didn't do that. We called the village and they were very nice. They said they've been having a problem and so forth. And so they came and they took it away because we didn't even want to look at it. And we've all had these kinds of things happen to us. You know, usually in the back of your refrigerator. Yes, you find that old piece of fried chicken or that leftover bologna or something back there, and it's turned green or yellow, and it really smells good. You know, like, hey, we ought to eat this up pretty quick here before it goes bad. Anyway, so we don't like to deal with those things. But we have those things in the spiritual realm. All right? We have those things in the spiritual realm. That which is ugly and filthy and sinful and wicked and evil. And I understand, you know, we don't want to participate in those things, obviously. But as Christians, and thank you, Jim, for leading us in the song there, we can't just walk away from those things. We are called to face them and fight against them, aren't we? That's our calling, that to become the soldier of God, to fight against evil, to fight against wickedness, whether it's in me or whether it's out there in the world, that I'm called to do that. That's, in fact, what Jesus did, wasn't it? When he came here, he came to deal with sin, he came to face sin and to overcome sin. Now, he did it in the right way by offering himself as a sacrifice, but he challenged sin. He called liars liars, and he called hypocrites hypocrites, and he stood up for what was right. And if we walk in his shoes, or in his sandals, if you want to say, we are called to do the same thing. We just can't turn the blind eye, pretend we're in a dream world, ignore sin, and hope it goes away. Because that'll never happen. It won't happen. And you and I are called to fight against it. If you don't face it, you'll never fight it. And if you don't fight it, you'll never win any victories. That's just the facts. If you don't face it, you'll never fight it. And if you don't fight it, you'll never win any victories. And in fact, it will end up conquering you and those you love. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul writes that to Timothy. You say, oh, yeah, well, Timothy was an evangelist, but yeah, Timothy, you know, read through that letter. He talks a lot to Timothy as a man, as a person. And if Timothy's own struggles, you know, Timothy was given some kind of a gift from Paul. We don't know what it was, but it seems like he was a little bit afraid to use it. And Paul said, you know, don't do that. Stir that up in you. Don't be afraid. He said, don't let people look down on you because you're a young man. Timothy had his personal problems. He says, fight that fight. Overcome the sin in you so you can help others overcome the sin in them. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 5. I want to talk first of all about overcoming sin in ourselves, and then we're going to talk a little bit about overcoming sin in the world out there with others, those whom we love and the country we love and the place where we live, our neighborhoods. Fighting for ourselves. Here's this thought. If you go down, you can't help anybody else. If you go under to sin, you can't help anybody else. That's a fact. That's why you have to fight for your own soul. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. The devil is out to kill you. That's just a fact. I read that word devour. You know, what I thought about was that movie Jurassic Park and the raptors, you know. He was running for those raptors inside that building. He's out to devour you. I thought about Jaws. Everybody likes Jaws, right? That's the devil. He wants to devour you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. That's all he does. And he's dead serious about it. He is absolutely and totally serious about it. That's all he does. And we, in turn, have to recognize that and be dead serious about fighting against him and just not ignore him and pretend he's not around. We've got to take the fight to him. He shows no mercy. He fights dirty. He comes after you. He comes after your children. And he'll come after you through your children. I guarantee it. That's the kind of being he is. That's the wickedness of the devil. It's the wickedness of the world. Peter says, resist him. Face the ugly. Face the evil one. You have to fight. You have to prepare to fight. And then you have to engage him. You have to stand firm. We're going to look at the armor of God here in our next scripture. His strategy, you know, he uses all kinds, but his, a lot of it's deception. But he wants to get you to sin in some way. He wants you to stay in that sin, not repent of it. He wants to keep you away from God, and then he wants you to turn against God. You know anybody that's ever gone down that road? That's his tactic. Starts out small. Sometimes we say, oh, that's not bad. That doesn't harm anything. Just hurting me a little bit, and God will overlook it. And you get caught up in that. You can't get out of it. It finally becomes your idol, becomes your God. And then after a while, you actually turn on God. You begin to disbelieve. You begin to hate. You begin to say God is responsible for all the evil and wickedness. And, you know, this is right where the devil wants you to be. He's got you now. So we have to fight. We have to resist him and stand firm. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we could go to a lot of scriptures. We haven't been to this one for a while, and I'm not going to linger here too long, but I'm going to work through this, and I want us to see really one thought, basically. I'm going to read 10 to 13 to start with. And again, this is spiritual warfare. This has to do with the soul and the spirit and the mind and the heart, that inner part of us, to fight back. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Notice, first of all, in verse 10, it's the Lord's strength. Yes, we have a part. Yes, we have faith. Yes, we have love for God and love for those around us. But this is, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the direction through the Word. And we, you know, when we're fighting this fight, we're in prayer. We're in prayer a lot, asking God for guidance and help and strength to do what's right. And we need to go to him often. Just experienced something this past week. You know, you get these thoughts in your head. Everybody does. I get these thoughts. And boy, the sooner you can get rid of those thoughts, the better. Don't let them linger in your mind. Say a prayer. Lord, take this thought out of my head. You got to fight. The full armor of God, so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. There's complete protection. God will give it to us so we can fully engage the enemy. We've talked many times about the devil being the schemer, the liar, the deceiver. This is the way he works. We saw there in Genesis, even with Eve, not only was she deceived in order that she sinned and disobeyed God, eating of the fruit she shouldn't eat of, but the devil made her think she was doing something good, that it was good for her to do that, to disobey God. He gets us to do that. So we really need to know the scripture, and we need to know the what's what and have God's wisdom to understand when the devil tries to take us down a path that this isn't right. And what? Find out what is right. Verse 12, the spiritual forces of wickedness. I'm going to read that again. That, you know, the spiritual warfare that's going on, starting with the devil and whatever else these powers are. And the question I have here is, do you want them to win? Because they're fighting against you. You can't see them, but you can feel the effects of what they do. You want them to bring you down? Are you serious about it? It's a fight to the death. You know, sometimes you think, you know, we're in good health and everything's going good. I got food on the table. I'm paying my bills. We think everything's all right. And that's sometimes when the devil has us too. We think because everything's going along good, there's no problems with me. We'll talk about that in a minute. Take up the full armor so you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Evil days will come. Evil days have come for all of us in different ways and in different forms. Whether it's through death, severe disease, terrible temptation, the devil uses all his weapons to cause us to turn against God. All of them. He's vicious. He's resourceful. Like I said, he's fighting to the death. And so we have to be ready and take up the full armor to resist. Let's read on, 14 to 18 in Ephesians 6. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, there's a real call to arms. Paul fought that battle every day. He calls his readers in all his letters. You know, he mentions it here, but it's the same battle he mentions in other letters. We have to fight this fight. Girded your loins with truth, verse 14. Truth. What Jesus say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the Word that became flesh. The Word of God is truth. So we have to have on that Word of truth. Then what's he say? The breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness do we have as Christians? Our righteousness, is, says in Isaiah, is like filthy rags. But we have Christ's righteousness, don't we? We have to have his righteousness to fight this fight. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who's the gospel about? Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, raised again. It's his gospel. It's his good news. He's the one who came to rescue us, to save us. Taking up the shield of faith. In whom do we have faith? God, Jesus, right? That's where our faith is. It's in him. It's not in a set of words on a page. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, in God himself. That's where our faith is. Take the helmet of salvation. Who gives us salvation? Where is salvation? The scripture says salvation is in Christ, isn't it? And he is the one that won our salvation through the cross, through his death. So that's the salvation that comes from him. He saves us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you say, Jeff, please don't go to John 1:1 again. It's the Holy Spirit who was promised by Jesus, right? In the Gospel of John, no less than three times, I'll send the Spirit. He will convict the world of sin. He will bring to your remembrance all things. He will guide you into all truth. But that was a promise that Jesus would send him. Of course, the Spirit is God. And then prayer. With all prayer, a petition at all times in the Spirit. How important is that? How important is, if I were to ask you how many times a day you pray, what would you respond? I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to compare that, your prayer life, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Are you there? Or are you just kind of floating along, trusting in yourself? Of course, in whose name do we pray? In the name of Christ Jesus, right? Now we do. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. So what is Paul really telling us here about this armor of God? It's all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's all about being in Jesus Christ, serving Jesus Christ, doing things in his name and for his glory and trusting in what he did on the cross. That's what the armor is. It's putting on Christ. Putting on Christ Jesus. And not trusting ourselves, or as he said there in the beginning, our own power. It's the power of Christ Jesus that we're trusting to get us through these evil days. So put on the full armor of God. If you're missing any pieces, wow, if you're not in Christ, you are terribly vulnerable to going down. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. Occasionally we falter. Occasionally we really do get hit hard and we stumble. We might fall to our knees. We sin. We know we sin. We read that in 1 John and other places. We're not without it. Sometimes the devil wounds us severely. We get angry at God. We get caught up in something that for a while we can't get out of it. What do? I could have gone to a couple of different places, but I wanted to use this one because it points something out. I think it's important for us. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8. Paul here in the situation with the Corinthians, if you know their background, especially from the first letter, they had a lot of problems. They had a great lot of problems, deep problems there in that congregation. With some individuals and with the congregation in general, they weren't getting along. There was sin. It was open sin. And so Paul is, he's not giving up on them. He still calls them the church, but he's trying to get them to get it back together, as we would say. And so he had written them a letter challenging them about, we don't know the details, about some of this, one of these sins and one of these situations in the congregation. Like, you got to straighten it out. And so he got word back from them. And so here's part of this response in verse 8. He says, "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter." All right? He made them sorrowful, upset. "I do not regret it." All right? He said, I'm not sorry I made you sorrowful. "Though I did regret it, for I see that letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while." All right? "I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance." They needed to repent of their sin. It's, you know, Paul's the apostle here, their father in the faith, if you will, you know, established that congregation. He knows them. It's like the father correcting the children, as we've all had to do as parents. You know, this hurts me more than it hurts you. That's what's going on here. He says, I had to make you sorrowful. I had to point out what you were doing wrong. I didn't like to do it, but I did. It needed to be done. Why? And then he says, I rejoice because why? It brought about your repentance. We shy away from the word repentance. I've said this many times. Repentance is a marvelous, wonderful word. And when someone repents, we need to rejoice, just like Paul did right here. Sometimes we focus on the fact, well, what did they do? And they sinned and so forth. Well, oh, yeah, but they have repented. That's the great thing. Been convicted of sin, understand it's wrong, and they want to get right with God. That is the great thing that we want people to do. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret leading to salvation. You just lay it all out there. Yes, I did. I sinned and I need forgiveness. Father, forgive me. Brothers, sisters, forgive me. I did wrong. Please forgive me. That's what's needed in so many cases. You know, often we don't want to face the ugly in ourselves. We want to just hide it and pretend it's not there. And that never works. It never brings you forgiveness, first of all, because you still have your sin. And it just tends to eat away at you and cause you to be ineffective as a disciple and as a witness for Christ. He says, but the sorrow of the world produces death. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I'm like this. But there's no confession and there's no desire to change. Sometimes the ugly gets in our own house. When is the last time you faced some ugliness in your own life? If you tell me it hasn't been for a couple of years, I'm going to say you probably should start looking. Because we all have it. Don't want you to go down. We need to face it. We need to say, that's me. One of my favorite writers in a magazine writes editorials. Had a beautiful line, and she was forced to face her own sin. She says, what I thought was my personality was really sin. You might think it's all right. You know, some people walk around, they always got this little sharp retort, always popping people with words, and they don't realize how much they hurt, how much they sting. Got to face the ugly. We need to get back in the fight. That's the only way you can. Face it, repent. Lord, help me to get over it, get through it, do better. Get back in the fight. Get back in the fight. Admit your failure. All right, 2 Timothy. Fighting for others. Don read this a while back. I think it was in the fellowship. Do I need to tell you the world's a mess? Mike prayed about that this morning. And I think it's getting messier and uglier. Let's read here 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, and then we'll drop down to 12. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. We read in other scriptures that it is the last days. All right, we're not waiting for any other period. It is the last days now. For men will be lovers of self. As we read through this, just think about what's going on out in the world right now. If you don't see this and in the news and hear this, and maybe even when you interact with people, will be lovers of self. I mean, to the degree that that's all they do. Lovers of money. Boastful. Arrogant. Revilers. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Wow. We talk about people that are ungrateful today. Unholy. Unloving. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips. We don't even gossip anymore. We just tweet it right out, you know? We just tweet the lies and repeat everything for everybody to hear anymore. Without self-control. Wow, there's one. Brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. How about this one? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's all about me having fun and having what I want. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We've gone to that before, but here's the idea. You've got to fight back, because it's coming. It's coming. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see? Again, we had a couple of lessons here in the last 2 or 3 months. How important it is to know the truth. All the truth. How to, you know, not simply about scripture, but how to think properly and how to determine what is a lie and what is deception. How important that is. It's a world without God. It's a world that does not fear God. I got some examples here. Some of these you're aware of, I'm sure. A couple of generalities, but here, have you heard, this was just last week, I think it was, or the week before, this professor in Sweden at this symposium said that in order to help overcome the world's food shortage, we have to start eating human flesh. I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up. Now, where does that come from? Sure didn't come from God. And then you probably heard this one about the one, I won't name the name, the one presidential candidate now running, who said that one of the ways to deal with his concern about climate change is to provide abortions for poor countries so they won't have children, thinking that that's the problem. That's one of your people that supposedly going to be a presidential, or is a presidential candidate. This is pure evil. We have to call it evil. It's not just wrong thinking, it's wickedness. It's from the devil. Okay? We have to fight it. We have to call it. Of course, we know, you know, the abortion thing, we've got that going on, the attack on life, and now, of course, the assisted suicide thing, this is starting to gain momentum. For older folks or those with dementia, you know, they're not worth too much. We'll give them a pill. Starting to gain traction. The devil's attack on marriage and the home. And this has started, well, he's always done this, but recently the casual divorce, don't matter, I'll just get this one, no, I'll get that one, no. And then, of course, the people living together, we don't even get married. The gay marriage thing, pornography, sex trafficking, those are all attacks on God's marriage and the home. You got to see that. That's what that is. To destroy the foundational block for society. Those are all attacks on that. And then there's the attack on the image of God in man. Instead of being God-fearers, that was part of the Timothy reading, people just love themselves now. They are the most important thing in the world, is themselves, me. And just forget God and what He wants. And they forget they're made in the image of God, and they just corrupt that image like nobody's business. So we have to fight for these people. We have got to fight for them. Help them to see where they are going off the rails and bring them to God. Mike prayed about that too. Give them the gospel. Give them the good news. Help them know you're made in the image of God. You know, none of these positions even stand the test of science or of history. It's just all passion. They're just all caught up in it, and nobody's thinking. And underlying it all is the fact they don't want God. They don't want their Creator. They don't want their Savior. They don't want their Judge. We got to fight for them. We got to love them. Mike says, pray for your enemies. We got to pray for them. We got to pray. What did it say there in Ephesians? All the time, regularly, all things, in the Spirit. We're in a fight. We can't turn away from the ugly. It's disgusting. It's sickening. It's heartbreaking, but we've got to fight against it. We can't pretend it's not there. We got to fight for ourselves, we got to fight for our children, we got to fight for our grandchildren, that these things won't overtake them. Let's go to Jude. People are trapped, they need to be freed. People have been deceived by the devil, they need to have the truth. Jude writes about this. He says in verse 3, Jude only has one chapter. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, all right, we were saved, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. He says you got to fight for it. Even back in those days, we know the persecution that came from the Roman Empire and other places. You got to contend for it. Verse 4, you could read all of Jude when you get home. Get a feel for Jude's thinking. Verse 14, I can't read it all. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly ways and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. Enoch prophesied this was going to happen. We've got to get stirred up about this. And then look in verse 20, kind of wrapping it up. He says, he mentions both the thoughts we're talking about this morning. You've got to fight for yourself and you've got to fight for others. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. All right, that's what you got to do for yourself. Praying, hang in there in the faith, build it up, and so forth. Keep strong. But, 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. The devil's always got somebody doubting, wondering. God really loved me. Is this all true? You know, this really looks good out here in the world. I think that's better than what Christianity offers. He sows those seeds. 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh, hating even the ugly. They're caught up in sex trafficking. They're caught up in drugs. They're caught up in whatever. And I don't want to get near them, but I need to save them. Hating what they're doing, but loving them and being willing to do that, to reach out to them with the gospel. Fight for yourself. Fight for others. Again, please take the scriptures home. Read them home. Pray about them. If you're not in the fight, get in it. If you're in the fight, step it up. There's a lot of people out there need saved. I bring my sins to thee. Jesus is the answer. We talked about him. Put on the whole armor of God. If you need to be baptized this morning, I encourage you to come. And you can get in the fight. And you can help others find this freedom in Christ and be freed from the schemes of the devil. If you're a Christian and you've been kind of sitting around and thinking everything's all right and everything's great, wow, you need to rethink that. Maybe you want to come and ask for prayer. Maybe there's something in your life we talk, you need genuine repentance, and now's the time, perhaps. If you want to come, we're here for you. If you need to talk on the way out, we can arrange a time or something, but however the Spirit of God has stirred you through the Word of God, don't let it pass. We need you to act on it. God wants you to act on it. So while Brother Jim leads us, please come.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shadyside Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook under Shadyside Church of Christ. Thanks again, and please have a blessed week.